As I said, I've been getting this question a lot lately, so I feel very comfortable answering this question. And according to, now I've been studying the Vedas since 1973. I read various Vedas every day, minimum 1, 2, sometimes 3 hours. Your question is called Vedanta because it is something that is concluded and the derived from studying all the Vedas. So destiny simply means that due to your past lives, you of course believe that you have had past lives, you are now placed in a certain situation. You have a particular kind of body. You have a particular kind of mentality and disposition. And you have different inclinations because of previous lives. That's why you are who you are now. Same with all of us. Now, your destiny only brings you to certain situations. Now, free will kicks in. Because you are, destiny also means that super soul. If you heard Paramatma, you know about this in the Bhagavad Gita. It is Paramatma who sets up the particular scenario. Now you have a choice. You can act in this way. You can act in this way. You can accept, reject, and that's not predestined. You see the difference? What is predestined is the particular scenario that you find yourself in. But the moment-to-moment decisions, that's not predestined. That is where your free will comes in. Do you see the distinction? No, because, for instance, in the Bhagavad Gita, at the end, Krishna says to Arjuna, I've told you everything, now you decide what you want to do. So it's not predestined. Arjuna could have said, no, I don't want to fight. It was not predestined. In other words, that's the idea that I'm trying to convey. The choice you get to make, that is not predestined. Predestined only goes to a certain extent. Then where predestined or destiny ends is where choice, your free will. Sometimes I give the example. If we had a problem here and we needed to call the police, there was some big disturbance. Now the policeman comes to the door and like Arjuna, comes to the door and all of a sudden, you know, he says, you know what, I don't know if I want to get involved. It was like, wait a second, you're not doing your duty. That was the same position of Arjuna. But in all of us, you're a mother, yes? So, to a certain extent, your destiny is there. Do you also work or you just take care of children? Oh, you do double job. Oh my God. So, even in your day-to-day things, you have an opportunity to make choices how you are going to live the rest of your life. So the destiny is there. You have this particular husband. You have this particular child. You're living, I guess you live here in Orange County. All right, there is destiny there. But now, within that, there are choices you can make. If there was no free will, then why would we spend time reading Bhagavad Gita? Why would we, even your children, how old is you have how many children? One boy. How old? He's 11, like Raul. All right. Now, he also has a destiny, doesn't he? What that is, we don't know, do we? But even still, for you and for him, you work on the premise that obviously you're going to give him the best education you can. I know Indian families. That's, you know, it's in their DNA, so to speak. Right? Jewish people are the same way. Okay? They prioritize. My child has to have a good education. Okay? You may give your child the best education. You may give him every opportunity, but still he's going to make a choice. You know what? I don't want to do this. I want to do that. Okay? Now, you may say that's his destiny, but he still had a choice in that. This concept, sometimes people go even this far. They take it a step further. That since God or Krishna knows everything, but what I tried to tell, because I had a big argument, not an argument, I had a series of emails with somebody on this point. And this person is so locked into Western science. So he was saying, you know, it's already determined. I said, no, God's knowing something has in no way affect my decision. We're not robots. I asked your son, what does he want to be when he grows up? And he said he wants to be like you, a computer engineer, right? So when you write a program, I have a brother like that. When you write a program, it works exactly as you write it. But that's not us. We're not machines. We are, the very first thing we learn in Bhagavad Gita is that we are soul. And we are individual soul. And since we're individual soul, part and parcel of that individuality is the ability to decide how I want to choose my life, what decisions. God has free will, yes. We are part and parcel of God. We also have free will, but minute. God's free will is unlimited and infinite, but we still have that element of free will. For instance, I'll give you a mundane example. Of course, I'm on my diet, but normally when I come to a program, the host makes a huge plate for me, all right? And there may be 5, 6, 7 items on there. Now, the host is hoping, I hope Prabhuji eats everything. But I may eat a little of this. I may not like that. You follow? Even though you made up a plate, that's my destiny. My plate is my destiny. Still, I prefer this more than I prefer that. You see? Now, with your son, you are going to try to... It's normal. There's nothing wrong with it. Every parent does that. You're going to try and mold your child in a certain way because you feel this is the best way. There's nothing wrong with that. My parents did that to me. Unfortunately, I didn't turn out the way they wanted. Okay? Huh? My choice. See, people use this word destiny, but I don't think they properly understand it. That's what I'm trying to elucidate here. There is an element by which we create or decide what my destiny is going to be. So there is this element, and even if God knows, I don't know. Huh? And God's knowing isn't affecting my decisions. You decided to wear these kinds of clothes today. God made you do that? That would be, as I had this in November, some Indian man was telling me, whatever happens, good or bad, it's all God's fault. So it was the same question. And I was saying, this kind of philosophy will lead to lunacy. Because when you, let's say I get arrested, wrongly charged or whatever, I have to appear before the judge, okay? So I get a lawyer, and the lawyer presents my case to the best of his ability to make sure that I don't go to jail, right? I don't tell the lawyer, whatever. No, we have to understand there is this element of life where we do matter. It does matter, the decisions and choices we make. Otherwise, there's no meaning to life. Come on, don't wait. May Krishna bless you. So, with me, and all of us, moment to moment, day to day, our destiny, and that destiny is being charted out by the decisions we make. That's why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, there's the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Now, once I behave in a particular mode of nature, there's a certain destiny. You tell your children, don't do drugs, right? Now he's what, in high school now? Junior high. Aren't you telling him, don't hang out with the wrong crowd? Because I'm sure, right, in his school, there's going to be a bunch of gangsters or wannabe gangsters. Like my daughter. My daughter has a 15-year-old son. So she makes sure he's always engaged in athletics. She does not allow him to associate with the wrong crowd. Okay? Because once someone decides, I'm going to associate with a certain crowd of people, you are creating a different kind of destiny. I have an Indian family, Punjabi family. For the past couple of years, their daughter was in high school, and they were very, very concerned because they were noticing how she was changing. Then, I hadn't seen them for a few months. When I saw them, I see them on a regular basis because I bless they have two businesses downtown LA. So every couple of months I bless their businesses. So I hadn't seen them for like 6 months. They tell me, oh, everything has changed. Now the daughter is associating with a different crowd. Now she is very enthusiastic and well behaved, right? So the daughter made a decision somewhere along the line. Now she's creating a different destiny for her. So we do have that ability. That other, if there was no such thing as what I'm explaining, then I'm wasting my time preaching. Because the whole point of my preaching is to encourage someone or stimulate someone, you're going down the wrong path. You need to go in this direction. There is a difference. That's why I say destiny to a certain extent. But then you are a person and you have the ability to make decisions to create what that future destiny is going to be. It's not that you're locked in. No. You do. It's minute. It's little, but it's still there. Yes? All right. Is that question answered? Or do we still have to go further on that question? That's right. No, you're misreading. No, because at the end, chapter 18, first of all, Arjuna asked Krishna to be his guru. In chapter 1, Krishna is only the chauffeur. Okay, that's it. Okay, one question at a time. Krishna became the chauffeur of Arjuna because of their loving friendship. That's why. He didn't drive Duryodhans. Arjuna and Krishna had been friends for a long time. And Krishna also promised, I will not pick up a weapon, I will not fight. But Arjuna asked Krishna, you, and because of friendship, just like when I got here, you were helping, right? Why you help him? He's your friend, right? I don't see you going to somebody else's house. Why? Friendship. So Krishna agreed to be the chauffeur of Arjuna out of friendship. Now, in chapter 1, Krishna is told by Arjuna, drive my chariot, like you would tell a taxi driver, take me to the airport. So Arjuna said to Krishna, drive me, I want to see who's here, because this is the first day of the battle. When Arjuna sees who he has to fight, he becomes overwhelmed. Still, Krishna is not doing anything. It's only when Arjuna says, all right, I don't want you to relate to me as a friend. Now I want you to be my guru. That changes everything. Arjuna made a decision. With his free will, he says to Krishna, Shishyasteham shadimang tvang prapanam. Now, in other words, at this point, Arjuna is saying to Krishna, now I want you to act as my guru. Please instruct me. That changes everything. Then Krishna says, okay. And the Bhagavad Gita goes on. Arjuna asks a question. Krishna answers. I do the same thing. I don't bother anybody. But if somebody asks me, all right, you open the door. You follow? Nobody asked me. I mind. Now, of course, this is different. He asked me to come. But I'm saying in general. All right? But once they ask me, all right, thank you. Now it's my duty. So Arjuna is asking Krishna questions. Krishna's answering. And yes, Krishna shows him what is going to happen. Yes, he does. But even in that scenario, Krishna says, Arjuna, I want you to be my instrument. But he's not forcing him. There's a difference. Just like you may say to your son, I want you to do this for me. He may say, no. Like my father, when I was 19, my father said to me, if you're going to stay in this house, you have to do what I say. Otherwise, there's the door. This was at 11 o'clock at night. I told my father, I cannot do that. I had to leave. I was kicked out of my father's house because I could not agree to do what he wanted. That was my use or misuse of free will. You see? So, same thing with Krishna Arjuna. Krishna explains everything in Bhagavad Gita and then he says, now that I've told you everything, you decide what you want to do. That's where we come into free will. It's not that Krishna had Arjuna in a headlock. Do what I say. Come on. Not that Krishna had dynamite strapped to his... He wouldn't even need it, but... No, Krishna... This is why me... I'm not Indian. I'm American. I'm from New York. All right? So, this is why I choose Bhagavad Gita. I was raised Catholic. But when I see the superior nature, the level of the presentation of religion in Bhagavad Gita, this is what keeps me going. That I look at how Krishna is treating Arjuna, and I've said this many times in lectures. Krishna deals with Arjuna in a gentleman, he doesn't insult his intelligence. It's not that Krishna is like some vindictive, mean god and just either do what I say or I kill you. Okay? Some religions are like that. No. You see in Bhagavad Gita, which I read every year, cover to cover, what I like about Krishna, he gives you options. In chapter 12, Krishna says, okay, here's the best platform. Oh, you can't do that? This is the next best thing. Oh, you can't do that? Here's the next best. Krishna gives you 5 or 6 options. That's free will. Options means I can choose this or I can choose this. And it's very clear in the Bhagavad Gita now. At the same time, even though you have options, once you exercise that options, yes, there's a certain destiny. That's explained in Bhagavad Gita. Once I make a decision based on the mode of ignorance, all right, I'm sure you've seen on television. I'm assuming you watch television. Yeah. Me too. So you'll see from time to time advertisements to go to Las Vegas. Alright? Now, anyone who's gone to Las Vegas knows you're opening the door for potentially a lot of trouble. You might lose a lot of money. You may be implicated in an illicit sexual affair. You may do things that you normally won't do because of the atmosphere. So once somebody makes a decision, yeah, baby, we're going to Vegas. Yeah, now you've created. All right, I'll give you another example. Once I purchase a ticket for an airline, and once I sit on the plane and the doors close, that's it. I made my choice. We say in America, you make your bed, you lie in it. It's not that I'm in the middle of the plane. Oh, I don't want to go to Chicago. It's a little too late for that. So it's both. There's a certain limit, there's a certain extent to where you have free will. Now, once you make a decision, you're locked. Okay, this weekend, for the next couple of weekends, maybe it's happening in your offices. There's a lot of betting on the football games, yes? Right? Huh? Yeah, yeah. This is the... Yeah, today, tomorrow, and the next couple of weeks, up to the Stupid Bowl. So, once you place your bet, right? You've created your destiny. You bet on whatever, T-Bowl or whatever it is, you know. Now we will see what happens. But, nope, God made you, not just you, God. So that's why I don't like this philosophy, this man was saying, oh, whatever happens, God made me do it. No, he didn't. And Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 5, the Supreme Lord does not assume responsibility for any decisions we make. I can't go to the judge and say, you know, I did the murder, but it's Krishna's fault. He made me do it. The judge will say, that's ridiculous. That's ludicrous. That is called insanity. You can't use that as an excuse. The Christians have the same thing. The devil made me do it. I was possessed. No. I did the crime, therefore I have to suffer the consequences. Manish, you had your hand raised. Yeah. If there's no free will, then I'm wasting my time. Because that means nothing can change. Everything is automatic, but we don't see. We don't see that. There's, at any moment, something can inexplicably happen and change. More questions. I love questions. Yes, sir. That I'm in a very high caliber group here. These are good questions. I think he's already answering it. Pretty good. Pretty good. All right. So this is another topic that is a conundrum for many, many, many people. And that is because the tendency is to see things black and white. So when we talk about detachment, first of all, you still have to do your duty. Detachment basically means freedom, or, sorry about that. It means an absence of what is called false ego. False ego means I am the enjoyer. And real ego means I am the servant. What makes a marriage work, for instance? When I married, or was it the engagement? It was the engagement. His son and his wife. At the Laguna Beach Temple, I gave a short lecture. And I said the success of marriage is when the wife is thinking how I can support my husband. And the husband is simultaneously thinking How can I support the wife? And where does the question of divorce and this and that come in? It's when that is lost and each person is thinking, what about me? That's false ego. But as long as a person is thinking, I'm not the enjoyer, I'm the servant, then you're situated properly. So, you have a family, and in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna instructs Arjuna to do his duty, and you said it nicely, and he tells Arjuna, you should execute your duty and at the same time remember me, or as you said, be spiritual. That's what it means to be spiritual. Remember and act in the understanding that I have a relationship with God. That's what it means to be spiritual. Although nowadays in America they think spiritual means something else. But that's the real definition of spiritual. Being spiritual means I am the eternal servant of God, and I should act in such a way that that is constantly reinforced. And Krishna tells Arjuna, I want you to fight this war and at the same time think of me. So detachment doesn't mean I lose affection for anything, but I have to see it properly. The bank teller is coming in contact with thousands of dollars every day. But the bank teller knows this is not my money. Even though passing $1,000 notes and this and that or big transactions, the bank teller at no time can think, how can I cipher some of this off? The bank teller's business or the postman? You don't want the postman delivering your mail and going through it. Right? The postman is just delivering. So detachment means my wife, my children, my home, my everything really doesn't belong to me. Everything belongs to Krishna, but he has given this to me as caretaker. So, I have a wife, but she belongs to Krishna. Therefore, she's not mine to exploit. No. She is my wife. I am meant to serve her. And what is my duty? Make it so that she can fully realize her relationship with Krishna. I have to take care of her. I have to make sure that she's always smiling. I sometimes give a seminar called Happy Wife Means Happy Life. I'm not going to do that today. That's for another session. But it's based on this principle. So, I have children, but they're actually Krishna's. I'm simply the custodian or caretaker, and I have to take care of it nicely. I have a car. Now, if I take care of that car, it will last, won't it? If I neglect the car, the day is going to come on the 5 freeway or the 405, and I'll have to call AAA, won't I? Because I didn't take care of the car, right? So the same way, I have a family, I have my life. I have to do what I have to do. I have to do everything nicely. Otherwise, the day is going to come, either in my relationship with my wife, or my children, or my job, where things are just going to break down. So that's detachment. Detachment means giving up this hallucination or intoxication that I'm somehow the enjoyer. I'm not the enjoyer. I'm simply the servant. And if I can actually see myself as the servant, then I can enjoy. Let's look at Radha Krishna. What is the perfection of the relationship between Radha and Krishna? The perfection is that Radharani has only one thought constantly. That thought is, what do I have to do to make my Krishna happy? That's why she has that name, Radha. Because the other gopis said, oh, that gopi must have worshipped Krishna better than anyone else, because Krishna left with her and left us. So Radharani's consciousness is that she has no other conception. She'll deny herself. She even says, Radharani says, that if there's something I like, but Krishna doesn't like it, I hate that thing. And if there's something I don't like, but Krishna likes it, I love it. That is the mentality of Radharani. And that's why Krishna will never leave her. As it is said, Radharani has Krishna wrapped around her finger. Because of that, she has no other consideration. Say you were to offer Radharani, Radharani, give up Krishna and we'll make you president of the United States. Radharani would go, she'd probably throw a thunderbolt on you. Go away. There's nothing you can offer Radharani that is going to take her away from Krishna. Nothing. It is impossible. Because she has that topmost devotion. She simply wants to serve Krishna. That's all. She even says, Radharani says, that if Krishna is interested in some other gopi, I go to that gopi's house, become her maidservant, and bring her by the hand to Krishna. Just to illustrate the extent of what she is willing to do. So, detachment simply means I am simply the servant. Unless we have detachment, we will not be happy in this life. Because the way this material world is designed, sooner or later, we are going to become frustrated. Sooner or later. President Obama became president, and he had so many plans and so many good intentions, and what happened? He had to deal with the Republicans. And for the last 4 years, nothing's gotten done. So you may think, I may think, I will arrange things in such a way and everything. No. Something is going to be happen. I'll be forced, just like any of us here getting younger. What's happening every day when you look in the mirror? Huh? Are you getting younger in the mirror? I don't know about you, but every day I go, ooh! God, another wrinkle, another gray hair, another ache, another pain. We are being forced to become detached. The material energy is saying, You had better become detached, because if you think you're the enjoyer, if you think you're this body, you're in for a big surprise. I give the example every time. Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, all right, they're the kingpins right now. At the time of death, how much money can they take with them? How many microchips can Bill Gates take with him when he stands before Yamaraj? Yamaraj, wait. I'll get you some stock options. No, it doesn't work. Whatever Bill Gates has amassed, he has to leave it all behind. He'll become detached from it. So detachment is something that should be learned as soon as possible. Just for one's own sanity and one's own happiness. Nothing is mine. Everything belongs to Krishna. Yet, Krishna gives everybody a certain allowance. On New Year's Day, every year, I do a program like this in a huge mansion. Huge mansion every year in Valencia. Okay? Now, I live in a two-bedroom apartment. And I say, well, I'm here in this big mansion. This person, Krishna has given him that as his allowance. Krishna has given me a two-bedroom apartment. That's my allowance. I should be happy, shouldn't I? What good does it do me to think, oh, I also want this mansion. No. I have my allowance, and I should be happy with it. Don't you tell your children that? What happens at Christmas time? Do the kids come with a big list? Huh? Right? Do you give them everything on the list? I hope not. No. They come with a big list, right? And then you and your wife decide, and you get them what is necessary, what is appropriate. Correct? And that's not because you're mean, right? Out of love, you know, that's crazy, that's silly. You'll get them, right? God works the same way with us. People are praying to God, give me this, give me this, give me this, give me this, give me, give me, give me, give me. God says, wait. Sometimes, all the time, people say, Prabhuji, how you're doing? And I'll say, my favorite phrase is, Krishna is giving me what I need, not what I want. My mother, God rest her soul, when I was a child, my mother would always say, Nikki, your eyes are bigger than your stomach. Because I would put all this food on the plate, right, thinking I will enjoy this much. But then I'd only eat half the plate. So my mother would complain, there are people starving in Africa. Why are you wasting food? Your eyes are bigger than your stomach. So we are the same way with God. We ask God, okay, I need this now, I need this, I need... Then if God says, wait, this is what you need. I'll give you what you need. Then I should learn how to be satisfied. That's a symptom of a brahmana. The symptom of a brahmana is that in any condition, satisfied. And I can say, honestly, this is not a brag, but when I first got married to my wife, we were living in a trailer the size of the kitchen. That was what Krishna had given us. A trailer the size of the kitchen. We lived like that for a couple of years. We didn't fight. We were happy. Krishna has given us a 2-bedroom apartment. It's fine. At some point in the 2-bedroom apartment, I had my daughter, her husband, and a baby. Same 2-bedroom apartment. It was happier times then. The first 5 years with my grandson, Janardhan, those were happy days. So everyone is given an allowance. Some of you drive Mercedes, some of you drive Toyotas, some of you drive Chevys, some of you drive Hyundais. Krishna gives you your allowance. And then the question arises, and the point comes, and this is what I preach, that Krishna will not give you more until he sees that what you're utilizing, what he already has given you, you're using to the maximum. Then he will give you more. Whether it be your home, or there's a temple there that I go to, they're trying to make a bigger temple. They've been trying for the past 15 years. So I told them recently in a lecture, I said, when Krishna sees that you're utilizing everything he's already given you, then you'll get your new temple. But if he's already given you this much, but still everything is not being used to its full capacity, why he should give you more? No, Krishna gives you what you can handle, and then when he sees, oh, you've handled very nice. I don't know, but this used to be the system. When you have children, maybe you give them a little allowance. When I was a kid, we used to do that. So let's say the father gives the child $1. No, nowadays that's nothing. But back when I was a kid, $1 was a lot of money. A nickel, you could buy a lot with a nickel. Inflation, things have changed. So let's say my father gave me $1. So after a while, my father would say, so what did you do with that dollar? Oh, I bought baseball cards. I bought bubblegum. My father said, look, I gave the guy $1. Look what he did with it. Whereas my other brother, with his dollar, he bought maybe a pencil, a pad. My father was thinking, yeah, this, I will give this son more because he didn't squander it. So God is the same way. When he sees, okay, I've already given you this much, let me see what you do with it. Oh, you're doing so nicely, I will give you a little more. Rupanuga Das, which of your daughters is here today? Is she prepared to sing a bhajan? Is she prepared at this time? Oh, she's shaking her head. Because I've been talking now for 50 minutes. I think they need a break. I think they need some entertainment. Okay. One more question before we have some music. Anybody else have a question? Yes, boss. Go ahead.
So how do we know this is a previous life karma or present life karma?
Okay, that you're never going to know, whether it was because of previous or present. All you can deal with is the choices and decisions you made. That was one of our original discussions. How should I think? All right. Especially when something goes bad. The intelligent way to think is, things have gone bad because I chose or selected the wrong path. I did not do things in the mode of goodness, but instead I chose to act out of passion or ignorance. And if good things happen, then I should not get proud, but I should realize, okay, this good thing has happened to me because somehow or other I chose wisely and I must have done something pious in order for me to reap this nice reward. So, exactly is it? It depends. Some things are, yes, some things are due to past karma, but a lot of things are because of present decisions I'm making now. Exactly what it is, no one's going to ever determine. But the main thing is to always act properly. In the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, after Krishna gives an in-depth discussion of the demon, the whole chapter, see, the first three verses are about devotee. The rest of the chapter, some 18, 19 verses about demon. But at the end, Krishna says, all right, one should know what is to be done and what is not to be done by the scriptures and act accordingly. If somebody is always acting according to the scriptures, he's got nothing to worry about. Because if things are due to your past karma, there's nothing you can do about it. You can't change the kind of body you have, Botox or whatever. Just like when I go to the doctor, he said, because you have a certain kind of body, that means you are susceptible to certain things. Sometimes they call it heredity. But basically it means you have been born with a certain kind of body, then you have there's a higher probability of certain diseases. Certain races are like that. If somebody is born in a black body, they're more susceptible to certain diseases. Indians too. That Indian body is also susceptible to certain chronic diseases, especially if you don't behave yourself, right? Americans, you know, depends. So there are certain aspects you're not going to, you know, okay, I'll just chant a few mantras and I'll, no. There are certain things that are locked. But apart from that, there are aspects that you can change. That's why we study Bhagavad Gita, and that's why Krishna is saying that you should act according to the regulations of the scriptures. That much you can control. Okay? All right, where is our singing?